Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share your word, that I would be your vessel and I'd be your mouthpiece today. I just pray, oh Holy Spirit, as you come, as you prepare the heart, as you touch the hearts of people today, your people, your children, move mightily in their lives today. For I know that I'm just like them, but I thank you for the opportunity that you will move mightily here today as I give this service to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For the past few weeks, I spoke about the armor of God. And I will continue to speak on it today, but in more detail. Hallelujah. I felt that when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me about the armor of God, that at that time Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, that he was instructing the church of Ephesus in how to run the church, in how to manage the church, in how to have offices in the church. And it came to a place that he says, finally, finally, that means he's concluded with what he needed to say to the Ephesians, to the church in Ephesus, that he came to a place that he had a certain message which was so important for the church at Ephesus at that time. Amen. And it's like that I'm speaking to you today. It's like as Paul was speaking to the church of Ephesus, I'm speaking to you today to you, that what Paul had brought in this message is this. This is my title that's up here. Show up, suit up, and stand up. We are fighting from victory rather than fighting for victory. Hallelujah. Listen, this is real. The war is real. But the amazing thing about it, Jesus said like this, I have overcome this world so that you may be overcomers. That means your fight starts from his victory. Hallelujah. You don't fight for your victory. You don't fight against the devil so that you can become a person that is called by God. But you fight from victory and stand. You know, as this scripture, as we're going to read from Ephesians 6:10, can you put it up on the board, please? There's four places that God says, stand. He didn't say, suit up and go to war, but he says, suit up and stand. Wow. And I was saying to God, Lord, why suit up and just stand there? He says, because I've already won the battle. Hallelujah. Listen, I want to put it into your hearts today that your war is not against flesh and blood. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You see, he addressed this church in Ephesus. He says like this, finally, my brothers and sisters, as I'm going to say to you right now, I want you to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. In other words, not your own strength, but the strength of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That means if you have been operating in your own strength, that means you are fighting a losing battle. Hallelujah. And you wonder why. Because you haven't got God's armor with you. Now, when he started to speak to the church in Ephesus, he spoke in such a way that it came to, it's not, you know, like all of a sudden there is this particular passage. That all the passages that he've written, and then it comes to this. This actually is a divine gift from heaven for you and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Praise the Lord. He deserves the glory because he so much loves you that he gave his only son. He died on the cross and he set you free. But in your freedom, the devil is still around. Hallelujah. The devil is very much still around and alive. That is the reason why he says like this. Finally, my brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Next verse, please. He says like this, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put it on. What is this armor that is he talking about? Hallelujah. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Come on, let's read from there. Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Most of us, we read this and we actually are ignorant about it. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you today that the devil is real and he's still lurking around trying to get you. The Bible says in, John 10:10, that the devil comes to steal, kill, and totally destroy you. That's his mission, 24/7. He has nothing better to do but to go against the children of God. You see, right when you give your life to Jesus, when Jesus came and he died on the cross, and he says that with what I have done, if you believe, as it says in John 3:16, you shall live. The moment you receive Christ in your life, you have created an enemy. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The moment you receive Christ in your life, you think, yo, yes, oh, praise the Lord. I'm saved now. I've reached it. I've arrived there. No, your fight has just started. Hallelujah. It's just begun. And it says like this, the thief does not come except to steal and kill, destroy. I have come that you may have life, but look at that. He has told us about the devil. He has told us about what he does. In other words, he's totally exposed, you know, in his hiding places. Then why are you still going to this thing that's already been defeated? Praise the Lord. I'll continue. Amen. Hallelujah. As I continue today, I will only talk today about gird your waist with truth. And I know that without what I prepared, you know, I cannot go to the next one. It is a massive, it is a big lesson, because as I go deeper into the armor of God, I came to realize that this is the lifestyle that God wants us to have. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a lifestyle that you got to have, gird in your waist, hallelujah, loins, truth, hallelujah. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, hallelujah. Shod in your feet, the preparation of the gospel, hallelujah. The shield of faith. Praise the Lord, the helmet of salvation. Oh, hallelujah. And the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the word of God. And as I came to study and go deeper into this, you know, did you know that this morning the devil attacked me exactly on what I was going to preach about? He went like this to me. From starting from last night, as I was sitting, meditating on God, you know, like I could hear him whisper in my ear and say like this, how can you even preach something like that? You're worthless. You're not even worthy to preach something like that. He started from last night. I started rebuking him from last night. Even this morning as I was in the shower, he said to me, who you think you are? You see, the devil is real. As I'm a pastor preparing for the word of God, he kept on attacking me. If he attacks me, he'll attack you. Hallelujah. You see, the way our churches, our society today, most of the churches we have in the big cities, I notice this. Because I come from Fiji. I come from Fiji. We come from a place where the devil is real. Come on. Maybe you Papua New Guineans will understand that. Everybody, I'm from Fiji. We have people that do that come against you. One family rise up, they go down, they die. They die of sickness, all of it. It's real. And this is what the devil does. He tries to kill, steal, and destroy you right from the moment you say yes to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He wants to dislodge that faith. He wants to dislodge from you the reality of how you understand who you are in Christ. He wants to dislodge that. He will try. He will continue to try. And I tell you, a lot of us today are on the floor because he's gotten into you. You're a bit silent there. But this is truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The amazing thing about this, as you will see from the title that I put up there, because of what Jesus did, you are fighting from victory rather than fighting for victory. He has already done it for you. Now he's telling you, take up my armor and stand. In other words, keep me in you. You will be attacked. You will be kicked around. But it depends on how you stand. There's been four times he spoke in this thing. Stand, 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 stand. And when there's something that is repeated like that in the Word of God, you got to really take note. You got to really take note. Why are you telling me to stand? Now, in the olden days, the Roman soldiers, in their shoes, they actually had spikes. If you go and study about it, they had spikes. And those spikes are meant to actually be firm in the ground like this and stand firm. No matter what that comes against you, you will stand firm. You will stand there and fend it. It'll be war. That means there is all the time, there is war. There is a battle going on. And you are always winning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, Paul himself, in 1 Timothy 6:12, he recognized this fight. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12, it says like this, fight the good fight of faith. Lay a hold on the eternal life which you were called to and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He says that it is a fight, but he says it's a good fight. He didn't say fight the fight, but he said fight the good fight. Praise the Lord. Why is he saying good fight? The reason why he's saying good fight is this. Because it is a victorious fight. Because he has already done it for you. The cross has already done it for you. The blood of Jesus already done for you. The stripes on his back has already done it for you. That is the reason why Paul is saying it is a good fight. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy, this was the book that was written to Timothy, the time that he was in prison. He says like this, 2 Timothy 4:7, for I am already being poured, verse 6 and 7, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and time for my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Wow. Amen. Listen. This fight, the devil will try you not to reach the tape. This fight, the devil will try and dislodge your faith. Hallelujah. Your walk with God started from the time you gave your life to Jesus Christ. The moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, your walk started. Your stand started there. because the devil is going to attack you. Being before Christ, he was your master. Before Christ, he was the one that took control of you. Before Christ, you were his. But when you gave your life to Jesus, because of what Jesus did, you have changed kingdom from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. And Jesus Christ is now your king. And this one here, the kingdom of darkness, whose head is Satan, he hates you. The reason why he hates you, because you are made in the image of God. Come on, tell the next person next to you. You are made in the image of God. That's the reason why Satan hates you. And the more reason you need to fight for your... Hallelujah. God is good.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Paul addressed this good fight. Why did he address it? Because he has fought the fight. He said that he has reached the end. This is a person talking that he's about to die now. He's about to go. He has said he's reached the place where we need to reach. But this person, Paul, have now reached that place. And he says like this, I have fought the fight, the good fight. I have finished that race, and I have kept that faith. Hallelujah. Why did Paul address this? Because he actually has fought the fight. That means Paul has recognized that he has fought the fight. He is telling us today in the verse that it says in Ephesians 6, there is a war happening. Don't listen, church. Don't be ignorant about this. A lot of us are ignorant about this. I'll sort it tomorrow. You know, the devil is telling you, hey, you're no good. You stole from there. You used to be a thief. What did Jesus say? No, I've set you free by my blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil is accusing you. Hey, come on, you hate your brother. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you have been deemed a murderer. So you're a murderer. Hey, excuse me. I have forgiven my brother. I have gone and asked for forgiveness. And Jesus has accepted me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll go a little bit deeper. For a person that is a gay person, that is telling his feelings, you're a girl. You're a girl. The devil is saying no. The devil is saying, yes, you're a girl. You act like a girl. Look at that person. That's how you act. But Jesus says, no, you're a man. I created you in my image. Hallelujah. A lot of us have been condemned with whatever that we do. The Bible says in Romans 8 verse 1, for now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means if there is no condemnation, if you are not condemned, if you are not condemned because you're in Christ Jesus, that means you are subject to condemnation. The devil will try and get you for what you used to do before. Hallelujah. He will blame you. He will come and tell you, hey, this is what you used to do. Mike, come on, you were used to be a drunk. Come on, you're still drinking. You still go, you know, like you come here on a Sunday, you have a few, but you go home and you have a few. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll talk a bit more about that. Hallelujah. Now, Paul is speaking and he's saying, gird on your waist truth. In other words, some versions it says, put on the belt of truth. Belt of truth. The reason why my pants is not falling off, this is a big pants. Because I got belt with me. You see, if this belt wasn't fastened to a place, this thing would be down there. Now, the very reason Paul is speaking about this, and I said, Lord, why are you talking about belt? Belt is a thing that is used to fasten something, to put something in place and to hold it there. To hold the thing in there, to not to fall off. You see, in our church there's someone who's well suited. Here, let me have a look. You tuck in, you put your trousers on, and then you put the belt on, and then you buckle it. What it does, it stops it from moving around. So you are putting it in place. It looks nice. Yeah? It looks nice. Yeah. But with the armor that Paul was talking about, gird on your waist. This armor here actually holds a few things. This belt. It holds, in the front here, it holds the strap that comes down from the breastplate. Here, boom. And then it holds the scabbard where the knife goes. And then in front here, there are strips of leather that goes in front to protect the lower parts for when a knife comes like that. That's the reason. So this belt here is actually like the foundation of everything. It holds everything in place. The armor of God. It holds the armor that the so you see, Paul was in prison. He'd be looking at these people every day, and he would be looking, and he's, wow. So that's what it is here. So he'd be studying what they wear, and he'd be using it in reference with what God was speaking to him about. Hallelujah. And he noticed that this particular thing, the belt that's sitting over here, it actually holds everything. Not only that, but it holds the sword, which is the sword of the Holy Spirit. It holds it. And he says, put there truth. Hallelujah. What is the definition of truth? An objective standard, a standard that is outside of you, by which reality is measured. It's not inside you. It's outside of you. And you take what you think about and you measure it with. But with us, the Bible says like this. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That is standard. Boom. There is no other way that people can come to God to. There is no other truth but Jesus. That is the standard. So he's saying, put truth in your waist. In other words, buckle Jesus there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this is what Jesus thinks of the devil. One, he is a murderer from the beginning. It's found in John 8, verse 44. This is the ESV version. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before Jesus started his ministry, after he was baptized, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit took him into the wilderness, and he got tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. But there was only a few that was recorded, but you don't know what happened to him during that 40 days and 40 nights. Everything that man would have faced, he would have faced in that wilderness, but he got through. You see, Jesus came at Satan with the truth. As it is written. Hallelujah. Jesus stood against the devil with the truth. Hallelujah. Jesus stood against the devil with the word of God, which is the truth. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. Hallelujah. And he's saying to you, listen, because the belt is, as Paul saw, that it was the foundation of what was hanging on this armor here, the Word of God. needs to be strapped into you. And it has to be your foundation. Hallelujah. Because right in the beginning was God. In the beginning, Genesis 1, in the beginning was God. Nothing else but God. So he is the ultimate standard that we take and subject our truth to. It is God. Nothing else in this world is true but God. The Bible says it. Everybody lies. Only God is true. Amen. Hallelujah. In John 17, verse 17 to 19, when Jesus was praying, for his disciples, he said like this, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified." Hallelujah. The truth, which is Jesus Christ, he had to sanctify himself so that you can be sanctified. In other words, the truth, when it's girded into you, it sanctifies you. It separates you. Sanctification means a separation, or you become holy. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to Jesus. You are set aside, sanctified, you are made holy. The truth sanctifies us. It makes us holy. God says, "Be holy, for I am holy." So this is a requirement of the first thing that Paul was talking about, gird in your loins, the belt of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is this getting somewhere? You understanding what I'm talking about? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's really hot. Am I the only one? Hallelujah. Jesus knows that the devil will challenge us without truth. The enemy only functions in lies. As we've heard in our scripture before, he is the father of lies. So he will try to dislodge your truth, to have you by lying to you. The only thing that you see in the garden, when the devil spoke to Eve, and he says, "Hey, what did God tell you?" "Oh, God told me to eat of everything in this garden, except for this tree here. Because if I eat of it, I shall surely die." Hallelujah. And then the devil turns it around. Did he say that you will surely die? Certainly not. You will know about good and bad. And you will be like God. You see, it totally dislodged the truth that was already spoken to Eve. Eve actually said, "If I eat of it," then all of a sudden, that truth was challenged. Hallelujah. Eve did not stand firm on that truth. Eve did not say like this, "Certainly not, Satan. This is what my God says, and whatever he says goes. Whatever you are saying is a lie. Whatever my God says is the truth." But Eve did not do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most of us, we compromise like that. Most of us, come on, don't look at me as if you are holy. Everyone's subjected to this. Hallelujah. Totally dislodge the faith and the truth that was there. You will be like God. Immediately, the thinking that came from Eve's heart was this. Wow. I will know good and bad. And secondly, I'll be like God. Wow. I reckon I should eat it. Because her heart started to go away from the truth. The truth was, don't eat. Now, because of the temptation, it twisted the heart around. And the heart started to say, wow, what will I become? She was thinking about her future. She was thinking about what she would become than rather what she was told to do, tend the garden. Now she's going to be like God. When you are like God, there is no other God. There's nothing else that will be above you. She ate, and she gave it. The moment Adam, they found that they were naked. Hallelujah. The devil will test you with the word of God, with the truth that you are belting it over here. Hallelujah. He will challenge you whether you are pretty serious or no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will come to you. Hallelujah. And he will come and entice you as it was done in the garden and as a lot of people are going through this today. It's still the same old trick that he does. But I thank God for victory. Amen. I thank God for victory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, we've seen that that the definition of truth is it's an objective standard. It is a standard outside of you that you've got to measure your truth with. There's a lot of truths that is out there. There's a lot of things that is out there that is you have been schooled with your five senses even before you came to Christ. And now you are in Christ. Those things are still around. Hallelujah. Those truths. There is one, your truth, and God's truth. Which one is the one? Of course, it is God's truth. Because he is the ultimate. That is where you're going to measure your standard to. Hallelujah. And he says, get it on you. You see, King David, when he fell. You know about the story of David. This David, when you read the story of David, when he was young, he walked with God. He take lions off the bear's mouth and whatever. He was ripping them apart, this young boy, because God was with him. He was with God right from the start of his life. But it came a point that when he was a king, he started to move away from the truth of what God has placed in his life. He committed murder. He did something that murder, that the blood of that person was on his hand. But he was so far and so deep into this that when a prophet Nathan came and spoke to him and told him about that there's a man that has done this and that and that. And you know what David says? That man needs to be killed. Hallelujah. This was the prophet Nathan speaking to David about his weakness. And David, he was so much in sin, so much away from the truth, that he was hearing this because he was a king. He made a decree. That person needs to be killed. And Nathan, the prophet Nathan said, that person is you. Just imagine how he would have felt. But thank God that there are people around that will come and speak in your life that will tell you, mate, you're going the wrong way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in Psalm 51, verse 6, when he was repenting before God, Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance of David. He repented before God. And in verse 6, he says, behold, you desire the truth in the inward part of me. And in the hidden part of you will make me to know wisdom. He was yelling to God, Lord, I know I've done a boo-boo, man. But you require truth from me now. Hallelujah. I need to front up. I need to bring my truth and size it up to your truth. And if it is not with the truth, then I need to take it away from me. I need to bring your truth back inside of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5, because everything about the word, it's about, you know, the Bible says like this, that you, that the word is alive. It is powerful. That is found in Hebrews 4:12. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces right into the marrows of the bone and the intentions of our heart and our soul and even our joints. That is how powerful the word of God is. But then he says like this, that word, you take it and you get it in your loins. That means be serious about it. When you buckle something, that means you don't want it to fall off. You want it to stay there. Oh, Jesus, I pray that you start to get this. That buckling means he's wanting to be a permanent fixture, that it sits in there, the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5. Can we go to that scripture, please? For though we walk in the flesh, again, as you see in Ephesians, that our war is not against flesh and blood. He is telling us again that, guys, whatever that's happening between your wife, it's not her, it's not him. It's what's that behind it. Whatever that's happening between your children, it's not your children. It's what's behind it. Whatever that's happening between you and your husband, it's what's behind it. It is the devil that is trying to destroy the goodness that God has got in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, for though we walk in the flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. That means the war that we do is not against one another like this. I've just came back from Normanton this week. Hallelujah. And I was talking to the people there and they said like this to me, this place needs Jesus. And he was pointing to a house next door the other way, and he was saying, see that house there, they fight every day. They punch one another up every day. Hallelujah. That war that's happening right there, the punching and the fighting, that's not the battle, it's what's behind it that's causing all this. So if your brother has wronged you, it is not him, it is what's behind it. Forgive him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For the weapons, there you go. There is a weapon involved. For the weapons of our warfare, of standing there with the armor of God, which is the sword of the Holy Spirit, the word of God, which is the sword of the Holy Spirit. The word of God, which is the sword of the Holy Spirit. Who? Do you get what I'm talking about? The Holy Spirit will only use the word of God. If you gird the word here, he has ammunition. He has something to fight with. If you haven't got anything here, what is the Holy Spirit going to use? Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. The Word of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit. The Word is the sword of the Holy Spirit. And the weapons we are fighting with is not flesh and blood. It is what's girded in your loins. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Woo! Yeah. Okay, these are the weapons. It is for our warfare, divinely inspired for the destruction of fortresses or pulling down of strongholds, for we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing, or casting down arguments and every high thing that has raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to obedience Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to that. He is talking about that it is powerful to destroy strongholds or whatever that the devil has built. Stronghold, the definition of stronghold is a lie that has been believed for a long time. Come on. Definition of stronghold is a lie that has been believed for a long time. Hallelujah. You remember when parents used to say, you'll amount to nothing. And you've believed that for years. And you've believed that I will never amount to anything. And you never amount to anything because you took upon it, you have believed it, and you have ran with it. I know. Families, all girls, the youngest is a boy, and they dress him up like a girl. This is truth. And then all of a sudden, that kid is starting to believe that he's a girl. And he has believed that lie. And he became... Come on. What is a stronghold that is still lurking around in you right now? What is that thing that you have believed? Maybe you were abused sexually. Hallelujah. I'm not scared to say it from here. Yeah, amen. And you're running around with shame. And you're believing that I cannot amount to anything. I cannot have a husband because of what's happened. Even as a man, abused. I can never have a wife because of what's done to me. And you've believed in that. And the Bible says it is powerful to bring it down. And the what is it? It is the sword of the Holy Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. And it says to destroy every speculation. You know what speculation is, or higher things? It's your own idea. Your own. And he says it's not the truth. Destroy it. Hallelujah. Anything that is raised up against the knowledge of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We have to tear down anything that tried to block God's truth from getting through. Anything. Listen again. We have to tear down anything that tries to block God's word from getting through. Hallelujah. You're listening. I'm going to repeat it again. We have to tear down any lie that is trying to block God's word to get through. Yeah. That's why he's saying, take every thought captive unto Christ. That means Christ is the filter of every thought that comes into you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to cut it short. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In John 8, verse 32, it says, "You abide in my word, and my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Hallelujah. The truth is the only one that will set you free. The truth, nothing else that it says, it's only the truth. It is the truth that you have believed in the cross. It is the truth that you have believed that Jesus has spilt his blood so that you can be washed clean. It is the truth that you have believed that you have been transported from darkness to light. That is the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. And it is only the truth that will set you free. Anything apart from the truth is a lie. Now, there's another word for loft, means a partition. Any high thing that exalts itself, it's like a partition that the devil wants to put in the middle of your head. It's okay. He wants you to be praising God. But as long as he has a partition in your head, you know that you'll flip on the Monday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, guys. I'm speaking the truth here. Hallelujah. Most of us needs to repent because a lot of us have that partition in us right now. And that partition needs to go down. It needs to go down. It only goes down by the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything that brings, that tries to block Christ, it needs to come down. Amen. Hallelujah. In John 8:36, for whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. For whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. Amen. In John 17:17, I'll go back to John 17:17. That's the reason why we need to have the truth. Sanctify them with truth. This is Jesus' prayer to his Father. And he's asking his Father, "My Father, sanctify my people with truth. For your word is the truth." Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 3:16, he says like this, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God." Inspiration of God means, in Greek, it means theopneustos, which literally means breathed by God. Breathed by God. And it is profitable for doctrine. I was asked by somebody the other day, "What doctrines do you have in this church?" I said, "All the scripture. Every word that's written in the Bible, that's our doctrine. Because we are not going to take anything out so that something will suit us. Everything in there is profitable for us." Hallelujah. "It is for reproof, it is for correction, it is for instruction in righteousness." The word of God is your instruction to the breastplate of righteousness, which I will get to when I have the opportunity to preach about it. Hallelujah. How do I gird my loins with truth? Hallelujah. I've been talking about it, but how do I gird it? Listen, you got to be serious about your walk with God. You got to be serious. Because the devil is out to get you. If you're not serious, he will take you out. You got to be really, really serious. When I mean serious, when I say serious, this, whatever you're doing right now, it has to be more than that. Hallelujah. The way you read the word now, it has to be more than that. The way you pray now, it has to be more than that. The way you talk to God now, it has to be more than that. You need to be serious. Listen, my son talks to me every day. Even though he's out there in his own house, he rings me and talks to me every day. We have a relationship. My father, I'm the father, he's the son. And that's how we communicate. He loves me so much that every day I need to hear his voice. Oh, hallelujah. you need to be serious. You need to be serious with God. You need to read the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says that your eyes is the windows to your soul. Whatever you're feeding your eyes with is what's going to go into your soul. If you feed your eyes with the Word of God, what's going to be full in your soul is the Word of God. And hallelujah. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. When you read the Word of God, sometimes it's good for you to read it aloud so that you can hear it yourself. So when you hear it, you have more faith starting to build up in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Whew. God is good. Hallelujah. Now in Romans 12, verse 2. This is Paul talking in Romans, into the book of Romans. And he is saying, listen, the reason why I'm saying you need to be serious. He says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen carefully to what he's saying here. Do not be conformed, in other words, do not be like the world of where you came from. You've been there, you've done it. Why stay there? Because you never achieve anything while you were there. Death eternally was yours. He says, do not go there again. Do not conform to it again. But instead, get your mind renewed. Hallelujah. Renew your mind. When I talk about the helmet of salvation, I'll be talking about that. But I'll say a little bit about it now. Do you know that I was sharing with Brother Brendan yesterday? I said like this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me this week. And he said to me, the helmet of salvation is my communion. Huh? I said to the Lord, why? Is it your communion? He said, I said to you to do this as often as you can in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's any time. I was sharing with him yesterday. I said like this, the moment you take the emblem, the moment you take the cup, you sit down, you are totally focused unto what God has done to you. Hallelujah. And he says like this to me, Joe, you spoke about something, but I'm telling you something now. It is my communion that you put in your head, the remembrance of why Jesus died on the cross, the remembrance of why he took those stripes on his back for your healing, the remembrance of why I have been transported from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, the remembrance of who you are in Christ now. Put it there. Put it there. Put it there all the time. Because when the devil challenges you, you say, no, I have been salvaged by God. No, you can't even do it. You didn't even die. My Jesus died for me. Another thing he said too is not only your salvation, but remember to salvage others. There's three things. Hallelujah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. There is now a lifestyle that is godly breath that has now become yours, each one of you. And that lifestyle, please, take it seriously. Don't be ignorant about it. See, you didn't see him dying 2019 years ago, but he did. He did. Hallelujah. He did. Hallelujah. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, be diligent to present yourselves, approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul is saying, good, fasten that belt. Do not go without it, he's saying. Don't go without it, please. Let it be fastened in there. Not only when the devil challenges you that you take one thing off, that it starts to slide down. Hallelujah. It must be securely fastened to you. There must be a hunger for it. For with this belt hangs the patch of the armor, the sheath of the sword, the strips of leather, that lower parts of the loins, that holds the lower part. It holds the breastplate in place. It holds the tunic in place. It is a standard truth that shuts down your truth. Hallelujah. The word of God is like a mirror. It's a standard truth that God has given to you that shuts down your own truth in what you think about your speculation, the things that have you have believed for a long time. This is what God says. It will shut it down when you take everything captive into obedience to Christ. Amen. Our standard truth is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you today. Listen. If the Holy Spirit is tugging in your heart, if there's a partition in your mind that during the week you're here, during Sunday you're here, but when you go on Monday, he loves that. The devil loves it. He loves to put that partition in your mind because he knows he's got you. Only one day. The next of the 5 days he's got you. Listen, if that's you, leave your chair and come up here. We need to break it. We need to break it. Right now I'm going to speak into the heavenly realms right now. I want to speak the anointing of God, the power of God that breaks yokes right now in the name of Jesus, for every mind, for every heart that has been solidified, that has believed a lie in a long time. In the name of Jesus, I break it. I break it right now. I break it. Come on. Come on. Come on. There's not only one. There's more of you out there. Hallelujah. 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 As we sing this worship song, as we sing this worship song, hallelujah. Hallelujah.